Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God paints pictures all over the scriptures. He does so, of course, with words, with his stories, with his metaphors, his poetry. It's beautiful. And that we can take from our everyday human experiences and even see in our imaginations this word of peace and comfort just come to life. When we hear about Jesus as the Good Shepherd, we're letting Jesus paint for us that picture worth a thousand words, and words that bring about faith, a picture that brings about faith. So we first want to take notice about shepherds. Much of this, I'm sure you know. Nevertheless, we don't seem to see many shepherds around us in our country, around here. They care for the sheep, that which in historical cultures would be good for meat, milk, wool, very valuable animal, even today across the world. But they're high maintenance. So shepherds or sheep herders, they have even their own name that would be separate from merely ranchers. It's its own expertise to herd particularly sheep. And even today, say, especially in the Middle East, they operate much the same way as they have for millennia. And God has a special place in the scriptures for shepherds. Let's just catalog it a bit. Adam, to start with him, a type of shepherd, naming all of the animals. Abel, a shepherd, particularly with a flock. He offered an animal instead of Cain, who was a farmer, who offered a fruit of the ground, that same ground that God had declared cursed. Noah, you might say, also a type of shepherd, kind of like Adam beforehand, where Adam had all of the animals shepherded to him for Adam to name. So also Noah shepherded the animals into the ark. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were all quite literally themselves shepherds. All the sons of Jacob, shepherds as they were out in the fields tending the flock when Joseph came to them to tell his dreams. Moses, for 40 years, between the ages of 40 and 80, was a shepherd watching over Jethro's sheep. And it was when one of those sheep, by happenstance, nothing really by happenstance in this story, goes up to Mount Sinai where Moses chases this one lost sheep to a certain burning bush that appeared to him, the voice of the Lord, saying that Moses will shepherd Yahweh's people out of Egypt. David, first a shepherd who would then shepherd the people Israel as her protecting king. Even Amos, the prophet, a shepherd. Or we also want to think maybe the Christmas shepherds in Bethlehem. These lowly, otherwise nameless to us, certainly knowing the name by God, they were the only people in the Bible who got a glimpse of the entire sky filled with angels, hearing about the newborn Christ. So there are so many shepherds in Scripture, and it's the picture itself that we want to take notice of what shepherds and sheep are all about. Sheep, not all that smart, or all that strong, or all that fast. They are vulnerable. They're gentle, but also ignorant. But especially, they're vulnerable. That is, if there's a wolf or bear or lion, they're toast. David needed to be one who had courage against the lions to protect the sheep. No match at all without a shepherd. Sheep and shepherd, therefore, they go together. You have no life of a sheep without the care of the shepherd. We think of Psalm 23. The Lord provides for us sheep even leading us through the valley of the shadow of death to green pastures, where we are made to lie down, yet for a sheep that is a gift, a privilege to lie down in the field. Psalm 80, the Lord goes out in front of us and leads us. Psalm 95 is beautiful because God even mixes the words together. It says that we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Normal English, we might think of that the other way around, that we are the sheep of the pasture and the people of his hand, but the Lord mixes us together. We are sheep. We own this label. We love this label, for we follow our good shepherd. Not necessarily at times knowing where we're going, but trusting in that hand to lead us. But now picture in your mind the main image of Jesus as the good shepherd, the noble shepherd, otherwise translated. What is Jesus doing as he appears in your imagination? Well, if you're following popular modern art, maybe he's holding this little lamb, or maybe he's got a big one over his shoulders. And truly, that is the image we're given in the parable of the lost sheep, where Jesus leaves the 99 in search of the one. He does lead us. He does take care of us, protecting us. And we find in him joy as he carries us through life. A lovely scriptural image even in our modern art. Or maybe we might even have some more romantic ideas in our head of Jesus just kind of waltzing around in the field, petting sheep, playing with them, snuggling them. And that's what we might think of as we hear this really gentle, even got the Irish tune, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." We think of those Irish green fields where they just love their sheep. But our gospel text surprises us with another dimension of this noble shepherd. He is the sacrificing shepherd, not of his sheep, but of himself. "I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep." Suddenly, this shepherd goes a little bit more beyond snuggly. This shepherd, we want to really play this out in our imagination, because really, there's not many cases in this world that we would imagine a shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. Yes, on the battlefield, sacrifice is a plenty, but what about the pasture? The noble shepherd is full of life and strength and vigor, standing before us through that valley of the shadow of death. So what is in this valley of the shadow of death? Well, in the ancient world, a lot of beasts that we don't have today around us, those lions, those wolves. And this then is the image we want to draw out, that Jesus is the one who allows the sheep to go back to the pasture. "I myself will lay myself down to let you get away. I will die for you, my sheep." And we can even paint this picture a little bit, admittedly drawing a little bit from Narnia if you know the story. But imagine that you're there, you're a sheep with the 99 others. You see mom and dad right there in front of you. There's the shepherd ahead, your green grass. But sheep wander. You're no exception. So you see some green grass on the other side of the fence. Go around, have some of that. And you get a little distracted, maybe see a butterfly flying away, going down the creek, down that hill, into the forest. And suddenly the voice of the good shepherd, still hearing it, so you keep going forward. You know you can return back to it at any time. But then, after a while, you realize that you've just gone too far. That voice no longer being heard. You try going back the way you came, but all of a sudden, that scene is no longer familiar. You are lost. No idea where you are. And you keep going and you're weary and you turn the corner and you see there a cave. And out of that cave, barking and snarling, and out comes that wolf. Ferocious with the sharp teeth, and you think, all right, I did it, I stepped in it, I'm done for. And as he walks toward you and all hope is vanishing from you, you hear the rustling of the leaves behind you, and out comes your noble shepherd. He's bleeding and sweating from the thorny bushes as he worked all evening trying to track you down. He's out of breath, finds you there, and suddenly you feel safe. You know what he carries. He got his staff, his sling, his rocks. This wolf is toast. And so you're feeling pretty good, getting close to him as much as you can, until the wolf talks. And indeed, as the image of the wolf is the devil is one to talk. Hey, now, you know the rules. If the sheep are in your flock, I can't eat them. But then when they wander into my yard, they're mine. The sheep belongs to me. I can have it for dinner. In this parable, those are the rules. Again, a little bit like that deep magic from Narnia. Rules are rules. And you look up at the shepherd. You hope that's not the case, but the shepherd nods and says, you're right. Those are the rules. If you want him, he's yours. But I have an alternative idea. Eat me instead. And with wonder and with awe, you watch as the wolf pounces on your shepherd and devours him, and you run away free. It's weird, to be sure, but this is the way it is. This is the way it goes with Jesus. As he, with that thorn on his head, the thorny bush on his head, the crown of thorns, comes to you in love to lay down his life for the sheep. He hands himself over to what you deserve and what I deserve, so that we would be free and forgiven and loved by God. And of course, that's not the end of the story. This shepherd is just too full of life. He can't stay dead. He lives again, and the wolf is destroyed. The wolf just can't keep Jesus down. Death can't keep Jesus down. And Jesus emerges from the mouth of the wolf. The wolf is destroyed. Death is swallowed up in victory. And the prophet Micah then gives us this image, that he, the Messiah, shall stand and shepherd thus his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. The Lord's protection, the Lord's provision, the Lord's strength to shepherd his flock is found in his death, in his blood, in his resurrection, in his new life. This is the purpose of the image all over Scripture of the sheep and the shepherd, all pointing to that one sacrificing shepherd, that one who loves his sheep, who loves you so much that he's willing to lay down his life for you. And in him, thus you have life. In him, you have peace. You have indeed the forgiveness of your sins. God be praised. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.